If you want to start an argument with someone, put something to them, a question to them, like, what's the best football team or the greatest football team? And you'll start a blue straight away, as Australians say. Or what's the best car on the road? And it was for years, it was with the Bathurst 500, it was always the Holden versus Ford, for example. That's the best way to start an argument. What's the greatest thing? And the Pharisees come in today to start that argument with Jesus. And I'll come back to that in a minute, but in the meantime, I want it to be clear who's who in the zoo, the biblical zoo. Now, the Pharisees in the Gospel had heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees. When we say silenced, it doesn't mean that he... What it does mean is that he shut them down. He got them to embarrass themselves by their questioning and their quizzing. They were trying to trap him. And then Jesus turned the conversation back on them, and so they were embarrassed, and therefore they said nothing more to him. That's what we mean by shut down. But who were the Sadducees? They were a religious sect that started about 100 years before Jesus was born, a little bit more than that. And the Sadducees were mainly the priestly families, the high priestly families, and the very wealthy. That's who they were. And they gained their authority in the religious circles really by exercising power. That's what they were on about. And they did not believe in the resurrection, and they did not believe so much in the literal translation of what Scripture says. They believed in the interpretation of Scripture. Whereas the Pharisees, who started around about the same time, another religious sect, were really the biblical authority at the time. They exercised their power over the people by the literal word of Scripture, particularly what we call the Torah. And in our Bible, that's the first five books. And you'll hear the term the law of Moses, or the Mosaic law, the Torah. That's what it refers to. So part of what you've got in the first reading and what Jesus refers to in his conversation with the Pharisees about the greatest is skewed right into the first five books of the Bible, which is the law. Now, the Jews get up every morning, and then twice a day they say a prayer called the Shema. And the Shema prayer, in part, is what you've got there today, which, when Jesus says this is the greatest of the commandments. He's not trying to win an argument here. He's pointing out a spiritual and biblical fact. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second comes from it, which is to love your neighbour as yourself. If you look at Scripture, there are two versions of the Ten Commandments. So when you and I, as Western Christians, think of the law, we go straight to the commandments, usually the Ten Commandments. And the first one is, there is one God, love the Lord your God. And then the last one is, thou shalt not. So the first bit is what you shall do, and the last part of those commandments are what you shouldn't do. Now, the Pharisees, they had 613 commandments that they looked at in Scripture from those first five books, the Torah, and they tried to enforce those biblical commandments word for word. So when it says in Deuteronomy that you will take these words, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind and soul, the great commandment, and he goes on to say then, you will put them on your forehead, write them on your forehead, and you will write them on your arm. You will pin them to your doorposts and to your gates. That's the next part of the first law. So the Pharisees, even now, you can see this happen when you go to Jerusalem or you watch the news of anything coming out of Jerusalem, where you see Orthodox Jews, particularly at the Western Wall, and which was, you would know as the Wailing Wall, and they're there, and they've got the, they're all dressed up in their gear, and they're going like this all the time to keep moving, and on their head is a little black box. Some of you may have seen it. That little black box, inside that is that prayer. You shall love the Lord your God. It's not a prayer, it's the law. So that's how literal they have taken it, because Deuteronomy says, put this on your forehead. So they put a leather box, and that's actually on their forehead. Around their left arm, you'll also see a leather strap. Bound in that leather strap is the same law. You shall love the Lord your God. Because that's what Scripture said to do. Bind it to your arm. Put it on your doorposts. When you go into a Jewish home, even today, as you go through the lintel of the door, you'll see on the inside that there's a little thing about that big, very narrow, and inside that little thing, I've forgotten the name of it, is a is the inscription that you've just heard, the great first commandment, love the Lord your God. That's how literal the Pharisees were. Of those 613 commandments, 248 of them are what we would call positive commandments or laws that they lived by and really enforced. And those positive ones were the things where we say, thou shalt, and thou shalt honour thy mother and father, for example. That's a positive commandment. The other 365 are what we would call negative commandments. They shalt not, you shalt not do this. And that's what they enforced. And an example that commentators look at is, they look at all of these commandments that the Pharisees particularly dug out of the first five books, and they kind of graded them into what they call higher and lower commandments. So a higher commandment is, you shall honour your mother and your father. And then a lower commandment would be the one where it says, when you come across a bird with the mother bird sitting on the nest, you may take the children from the nest, the eggs and the little ones that are that she's sitting on, but you must not take the mother. That's an example, and that's written there. That's an example of a lower commandment. Now, I give you these because when Jesus is well aware of all of this technical biblical language and how far the Pharisees would take everything. He was well aware of that. He knew all this. And he knew the games that they would try to play to manipulate people in their so-called religious authority. And that's what he was fighting against. So everything came back to, you shall love the Lord your God. That's in Deuteronomy. If he then goes into Leviticus and he pulls in, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. It's the only time it's mentioned in Scripture. Once does it say, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. 34 times in the Old Testament, it says, you shall respect and love the stranger. The actual word stranger, coming from the first reading today. Isn't that interesting? You shall love your neighbour as yourself, but 34 times, love the stranger, look after the stranger, respect the stranger. Why? Because you were strangers in Israel, in Egypt once yourselves. And remember how you were treated. They were slaves for a long, long time and treated very harshly. Don't do the same. We go through the prophets, and those 613 commandments that the Pharisees had, Jesus gets it down to two, love of God and love of neighbour. We question, who's our neighbour? And then we go into, the stranger is our neighbour as well. So King David, when he united the kingdoms, he got all of those commandments, those precepts, those laws, he got them down to 11, and they're in Psalm 15, they're mentioned there. Then the prophet Isaiah, he got all of those commandments and precepts and laws, he got them down to 6. So they're getting more finely tuned. Micah, the prophet Micah, much later, he got them all down to 3. And you'll know those. I know you will. You will have heard of them. And he got them down to do justice, love tenderly and walk humbly with your God. So you can take all of those 10 commandments and you can put them into those three. The prophet Amos got it down to one, which is basically love God. So when we look at the prescripts, therefore, the commandments and how we interpret law and how we live out law, there are people who either go to the letter of the law or those who go to the spirit of the law. And it is the spirit of the law that Jesus is concerned with, not the letter of the law. And that comes to be defined, as I see it, in two ways. One is justice and the other is charity. And Jesus is saying by bringing those two commandments together, love of God and love of neighbour, you cannot have charity, you cannot have love unless you've got justice. That's where the stranger comes in. They are connected and you cannot separate them. Because if you do, you are deficient in one. You are either loving God less or you're loving God to the extreme where you exclude your neighbour. And that's religious fanaticism. So in our life, we need to get that balance right of love of God and love of neighbour. And the law and the precepts help us to do that. It's not dictatorial, it is what biblical love is, what scriptural love is. And love in scripture has not to do with fast beating hearts and fireworks going off in our head and all that sort of stuff, soft and guzzy, it's not. Love in the scriptural sense is, technically, it means being attached to. So when Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, hate your mother and your father, he doesn't mean hate in the sense that we experience in our lives. He means you must detach yourself from those things, from those people that prevent you from loving God. And once you've been able to do that, you can then love your neighbour. He brings the two together. There is no charity, there is no love without justice. It's all based on love of God and love of neighbour. And Jesus would go on and say, you can't love your neighbour if you don't love yourself. So this is a very, very good opportunity for us to have a bit of a self-examination about how do I view myself in my relationship with God? How do I come up? Or don't I? And the test of that will be in how I actually love my neighbour, particularly the stranger. This would be a very uncomfortable examination of conscience, probably for the Australian government, in the way in which it treats refugees, strangers. But they are not necessarily people of faith like you and I are. So we are a little wiser, I hope, today about understanding who the stranger is. Technically, the stranger in biblical language is the non-Jew, the non-Israelite. When those words were put together. That's who the stranger is. Love of God, love of neighbour. When Jesus was about a teenager, there was a great rabbi in Jerusalem. His name was Hillel, Rabbi Hillel. And his words bring it all together. I just want to give them to you this morning. They're very brief. He says, in relation to love of God and love of neighbour, he goes, what is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbour. That is the whole law. That is the Torah. And everything else, the rest, he says, is simply commentary on that. Go and learn it, says Hillel.